You know, I am thankful, and I say this honestly from my heart. I'm so thankful that I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my own personal Savior. I'm just so thankful. I'm thankful that He has been good to me. He has saved me out of religious confusion. When I was a boy, I was just confused. Didn't know what to believe. Didn't know what to think about salvation. And didn't know what to do to be saved. But you know what? I'm thankful that I now have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ instead of just a religion about Him. And I have something personal with Him. He knows me, and I know Him. Amen? And I'm thankful for that today. And I'm just praising the Lord that God has saved me and given me the opportunity to be here today. I'm going to try to take as much time as I can today to do the message. And I want to share with you some things today from the book of Mark, chapter number 5. Mark, chapter number 5. I want to share with you some things today. I know there are a lot of people in our world today that are very religious, okay? They're very religious. And I want you to understand something today. There is a difference between having a religious experience and having a personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There is a difference. And in this difference, I want you to understand the Lord God, He wants us to understand that He is in control of things. Our Savior is the God of salvation. He is the God of salvation. And He has provided the means for our salvation. It's not in you or I being a good Baptist or a Moravian or a Lutheran or a Methodist, Presbyterian, Catholic, whatever other religion that folks seem to cling on to today. But it's in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior. And I'm going to say something today, and I hope it doesn't offend anybody, but it's the facts. Religion will send people to hell. If you don't have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't know what it is to be saved. Religion won't do it. And the devil uses religion to deceive people. He uses it to make them think that they have something that they really do not have. And what they need is a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If they have that personal relationship with Him, then they can be assured that heaven is their home. I remember being told as a young boy that if I would do good, now I had been sprinkled in one church, I'd been baptized in another church, and they told me, hey, if you'll do good and you'll be good, hopefully when you die, you've done enough good, it will outweigh your bad, and you'll be able to enter into heaven. But it never gave me any assurance of my salvation. I never knew. I mean, how much good would I have to do in order to be saved? Well, according to the Bible, I'd have to be perfect. And you know, sin is not allowed in heaven, not even one. And I had surely done more than one sin as a young man. But you know what? I'm thankful that one day the deceiver, Satan himself, is going to be cast into the lake of fire. And he'll be tormented there day and night forever and forever. And we will be rid of that master deceiver forever. But I want you to see something today. I want you to understand. I feel like the writer sometimes of the song we all sing, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. And that's what Jesus Christ did for me. And today I want in this chapter, Mark chapter number 5, I want us to look and I want us to see and I want us to understand the difference that Jesus Christ can make in a person's life. I want you to see and understand how that He turns darkness into light. Amen. He causes the blind to be able to see. And He gives joy where there was once only pain and agony. And I want you to understand today that there is a difference in what Jesus can give than in what only mere religion or the world can give today. And I want us to see that in this message. So, if you'll look here in the book of Mark, chapter number 5, we're going to start here in verse number 1, and we're going to go all the way down through verse number 20. But I want to show you the message today. If I were to entitle it, it would be simply the difference that Jesus makes. The difference that Jesus makes. And I want to show you two basic things in this message today. Number one, I want to show you some of the things that the devil can give to a person before they're saved. And then I want to show you what the Lord Jesus can give you after you're saved. Amen? And we need to be mindful of that today. We need to be thankful for what he's done for us. And I want to just give you this message today entitled, The Difference That Jesus Makes. Let's pray just a moment, and then we'll have the message. All right? Father, Lord, I thank you, God, again, for the privilege, Lord, of being able to stand here behind this pulpit and preach the Word of God. Lord, I thank you, God, for fixing my heart, Lord, and for allowing, Lord, my heart to be back in shape where I can be able to do the things of God that you've called me to do. And I pray now, God, for your power and for your strength today. And I pray, Lord, that you will give me the words to say and the wisdom to say it, and that I might be a blessing both to you and to your people. Lord, thank you again for your love and your mercy. Help me, God, today as I stand to preach. And we'll thank you, Lord, for all that you do. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Amen. I want us to look at this today in beginning here in Mark chapter number 5 and beginning in verse number 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when they, when he was come out, now this is talking about Jesus, when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he had said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he, speaking of Jesus again, asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. And were about 2,000, they were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he, talking about Jesus, when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Man, what a story. What a story. Now, I want to show you some things. Number one, the things that the devil can give to a person. I want you to see this today. Number one, I want you to see that this the devil gave this man a home. He gave him a place to live. Now, I want you to look at verses 2 and 3. The devil gave this man a place to live, but it was in the tombs. It was in the tombs. I don't know how many of you would want to live in a graveyard, but not me. Amen? Not me. Too many holes in the ground out there you might trip and fall into. But listen, Satan gave this man a home, but it was amongst the dead. It was surrounded by death and disease and darkness. But number two, I want you to see, not only did he give him a home, a place to live, but he gave him an unclean spirit, a bad attitude. Boy, we see that in our world today, don't we? You're not good unless you're bad, okay? That's the way the world thinks today. You got to be bad in order to be good. But listen to me. That was a gift from Satan to this dear man. He had an unclean spirit. It meant that he was vile. He was not clean. He was dirty. He was polluted. And he had a wrong way of thinking and acting. He had a wrong attitude about everything. Something he felt like probably that everybody owed him something instead of him owing anybody anything. The devil gave him a place to live. He gave him an unclean spirit. But number three, the Bible said he made him untamable. Untamable. Boy, that sounds like some of the kids in public school today, does it not? Kind of uncontrollable, undisciplined. He was not afraid to do those things which were not good and not right. It didn't bother him to do the bad things. It didn't bother him to do those things that were not seen as being good in the eyes of men. Number three, look at this. The devil gave him great physical strength and ability. He gave him great physical strength and ability. Look at verses 3 and 4. His attitude and his physical abilities caused fear among the people of that land. He had great strength. He could break the fetters and the chains asunder. Nobody could do anything with him. They could not contain him. And the confidence that he had in these physical abilities allowed him to think that he could basically get away with anything he wanted to do because he was able to do it. Boy, that's a bad thing, is it not? But that was what Satan gave him. Look at this. Number four, the devil gave him the attitude of no fear. No fear. I see these bumper stickers on the back of cars. No fear, no fear. Okay? You take the trash out one night and you come up on a skunk and you're going to have some fear. Amen? You're going to have some fear. Listen, the world today seems to have no fear of anything, including the Lord God. They have no fear. This man, the Bible said, neither could any man tame him. Why? Because he had no fear of anyone or anything. He feared nobody. He did whatever he wanted to do. If you go over to the book of Luke, chapter number 8, and you don't have to turn there, but in verses 26 and 27, the Bible said they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which the devils had a long time, and he wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. He had no fear. He ran around naked, naked as a jaybird. I mean, he was just no fear of anything. And we see here that because the devil gave him no fear, he had no shame. He could run around naked. He could do what he wanted to do. And you know what? It kind of sounds like our world today, does it not? I mean, man, it sounds like they just want to do anything and everything that they want to do. He had no fear, and the devil gave him that attitude, that state of mind. But number five, I want you to see this. The devil gave him no peace. no peace. Listen, all this man had was physical pain and mental anguish. Look at it in verse number 5. When you look at verse number 5, what does the Bible say? And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. He did self-mutilation. Boy, there are kids today doing this, trying to get peace, cutting themselves with razors and all kinds of things. Listen, they're trying to gain peace, but there is no peace outside of Jesus Christ. Listen to me. N-O peace, or N-O Jesus, N-O peace. No Jesus, no peace. But K-N-O-W Jesus, then K-N-O-W peace. If you do not know Christ, you'll not have the peace that only he can give. But if you know him, not just in your head, but in your heart, amen, if you know him as your Savior, he gives you that peace. And always in the mountains and in the tombs, he was crying and cutting himself with stones. Folks, all the attributes of today's society seem to match this man, do they not? And you know what that tells me? Our society today is filled with the power of Satan. It's filled with the power of Satan. The devil gave this man no peace. But number 6, I want you to see this. The devil gave this man a form of godliness. Now you say, preacher, where in the world do you see that? He gave him a form of godliness, a religion, if you please. And I want you to see this in verses 6 through 8. He was in the mountains and in the tombs, cutting himself with stones and crying out in anguish and in heartache. But when he saw Jesus, look at this, verse 6. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. Now think about this just a minute. A man filled with devils, filled by the spirit of evil, runs, comes to where Jesus is, and he falls down and worships Jesus. The devil gave him a form of godliness, but his actions denied the power thereof. Amen? Folks, you listen to me today. There is a form of godliness, religion, that does not bring peace to you or with God. And this was a worship that was selfish. It was not truly praiseworthy unto God, but it was a selfish worship. It was selfish. Listen, it was a fearful form of worship. It was a dreadful form of worship. He did not look forward to seeing Jesus like you and I look forward to coming to church and hearing the good music and the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. We look forward to that. He did not look forward to seeing Jesus. Why? Because he feared judgment and torment when he saw the Lord Jesus. The devil within him, the devils within him caused him to understand there was judgment coming. And I want you to know this here in verse number 9. For the sake of the disciples and for the sake of the people that were all around seeing everything that was taking place, Jesus asked a question here. And in verse number 9, he asked him, what is thy name? Now they're probably thinking he's going to say Joe or Fred or Ishmael or Isaac or something like that. But listen, the voice that came from that man's lips were not his own. It was not his own. And the Bible said, the voice that came out said, my name is Legion, for we are many. Implying that many strong ones were coming against this one man, Jesus, trying to make Jesus afraid because these 2,000 devils or whatever it was inside this man would outnumber the Lord Jesus. Listen to me. You can't outnumber my Jesus. Amen? Amen. With Jesus, you are a majority, not a minority. Amen? And the Bible said here, there was no doubt that it brought fear to the hearts of the people all around them. They backed up when they heard that. My name is Legion, for we are many. And thinking to themselves, they're thinking, what is this one man, Jesus, going to do with this man filled with so many devils? You know what it was? It was a showdown. It was a showdown between good and evil. Between that which was holy and that which was unholy. That which was clean, perfectly clean, and that which was vile and unclean. And Jesus commanded the devils to come out of this man. You can look at it here in verse number 8. Because the Bible said, for he had said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And so now they begged for mercy. And they begged that Jesus wouldn't send them away. And that he would not torment them. And now this man makes a request in verses 10 through 11. Look at it. He besought him. That means he begged him much that he would not send them out of the country. Now there was there, nigh unto the mountains, a great herd of swine feeding. You know what swine are, don't you? That's pigs, hogs, all those things, okay? And the Jews were not even supposed to have that stuff. They weren't supposed to be anywhere around it. But there was a great herd. And look at this. And all the devils, plural, that were in this man. No wonder he screamed at night and cried and cut himself with stones trying to get rid of all those devils that were inside of him. The Bible said, and the devils, all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And look at it. They entered into the swine. And immediately what happened? The herd ran violently down the hill. Look at it. Down a steep place into the sea. There are about 2,000. Now think about that. 2,000 hogs. That's a lot of hogs. That's a lot of pigs. 2,000. And these devils possessed those 2,000 swine. And they ran violently. They ran hurriedly down the hill there, the steep place. And they were choked in the sea. In other words, they drowned in the sea. Can you imagine? 2,000 hogs floating in the water, all dead, drowned because these devils had possessed them. And now, in verses 14 through 17, the people who were raising those swine, making money off of a means that they were not supposed to be doing, they got mad at Jesus. They got mad. Now you think about this just a minute. They got mad because Jesus did right. You know what that tells me? They were doing wrong. And folks, look at it. And they that fed the swine fled. When they saw all their pigs floating in the water, all their means of making money was gone. They fled. And they told it in the city, do you know what Jesus did for us? Man, griping and murmuring and complaining. And they did that. Why? Because they did not know the Lord Jesus. They did not know him. And the Bible said, and it was told in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus. And they see him that was. Notice this now. This is past tense. When the devils left the man and went into the pigs, There was a difference in that man. The devils possessed 2,000 head of swine. I guess that's why I never liked deviled ham. Amen. I never did like that. Didn't want to have anything to do with it. But they went into the swine. And the swine ran violently down a steep place and drowned in the midst of the ocean. They died. And when they come and see Jesus, they find the man that was possessed with the devil and had the legion. And now what was he doing? He's sitting. He's sitting. And he's clothed. He's not naked anymore. He's ashamed of what he was like before. Amen? He's sitting and he's clothed. And in his right mind. What does that tell you the devil did for him? The devil made him abide in the wrong state of mind. The devil's crowd looks at us today and says, you are crazy. You're just crazy. You're a fool. You're a fool for following after Jesus. You know what? If somebody says that to me, I always answer them back. I said, you know what? You're right. You're exactly right. I'm a fool for Jesus. But let me ask you today, whose fool are you? You know what? If we're not a fool for Jesus, whose fool are we? These folks had fallen for the deceptions that Satan had put in their path. They saw this man sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They're afraid of the power of the Lord Jesus. Boy, you know what? The power of God is something that makes a difference in a person's life. Amen? Amen. It makes a difference. You know, I think about this. And man, when this man before had all the things that Satan had given unto him, he still had no peace, no joy. He cried out in the midst of the night, cutting himself with stones and screaming out in the night because he had nothing. Nothing worth living for. That's what Satan had given unto this man. And you listen to me today. If you're here today or you're listening to the sound of my voice through the internet, listen to me today. If you do not know Jesus, the only thing you can have is what Satan gives unto you right now. You've got nothing, nothing worth living for today in the power of Satan. Nothing. It only brings heartache. It only brings grief and shame. But let me tell you something. There's a difference that Jesus makes in a person's life. And I want you to see this today, beginning in verse number 15. I want you to see the things that the Lord Jesus gave to this man. And he can give this to any person who comes to know Christ as their Savior. Listen to me now. Number one, Jesus gave this man a new and clean spirit. Amen. You remember the devil gave him an unclean spirit, a vile spirit, a wicked spirit. But the Lord Jesus gave him a new, clean spirit. Look at what the Bible said in verse 15. And they come to Jesus, and they saw him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion. Think about that just a minute. Listen. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man, doesn't matter what the past, doesn't matter how the devil deceived you, doesn't matter what the devil had done in your life, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Amen? All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This man was made new in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? He had a new clean spirit. He had a right attitude. Look at this. Number two, Jesus gave this man a disciplined character. A disciplined character. You say, Brother Ray, how do you get that? He was found sitting at the feet of Jesus. He was sitting at the feet of Jesus. He was now tamed. He was controlled. And he was disciplined in Christ Jesus. The devil before had him thinking he could do whatever he wanted to do and get away with it. But now with a new clean spirit, with a new, different type of attitude, through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, he was found sitting at the feet of Jesus. And look at this, number three, Jesus gave this man a new Christ-like dress code. Amen? He gave him a new Christ-like dress code. Before, he was running around naked and unashamed, unafraid of anything. But now the Bible said he was sitting and he was clothed. And you know, when a person gets saved, they come to realize that their body was created to honor God, okay? Not self. These folks that get out and parade themselves around in less than their underwear, and these folks that get out and want to make everybody lust after their flesh, they've not got anything good in mind. That does not exemplify the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Lord Jesus, when he cast out those devils, and this man knew what Christ had done for him, there was a difference in his life. And God, he clothed himself, and God was honored with his appearance. You listen to me today, folks. We are different when we get saved. Amen? We're different when we get saved. You know, the Bible said this. Paul wrote this again in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 20. He said, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Think about it, folks. When Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, they were naked, clothed in the innocence of God. But when they sinned, they realized that they were naked. The innocence that God had given unto them was gone. And you know what they did? They hid themselves from God among the trees and among the bushes in the garden. And then they got the idea to sew fig leaves together and to cover their nakedness because they were ashamed to stand before God naked. Now think about it. They would rather stand there looking like a bush than to stand there naked before God. And folks, listen to me. When you read about that situation, it was God who took that innocent lamb and slew it and took its skins and he clothed them and made them the way in order to stand before him. It was not their own man-made fig leaf aprons that they were able to come before God with, but it was through what Christ provided for them. And folks, there was a difference. And I want you to see this in verse 15. Jesus gave this man peace of mind. Again, remember, he sat in the mountains, going from tomb to tomb, crying and screaming, cutting himself. And look what the Bible said. When they find this man now, he's sitting, he's clothed, and he's in his right mind. The world may have thought, boy, this is wild. This man's never been like that. We've never known him to be like that. But now he's sitting there clothed and in his right mind. This man now had the peace of mind that he had never known before. And where did it come from? It came from a new and right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? It came from the Lord. The psalmist David wrote this in Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Amen? They don't get offended when the preacher preaches truth. Amen? They don't get upset when things go wrong around them. They take it to the Lord. Great peace have they which love thy law. And Isaiah wrote this in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. He said, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusteth in thee. This man had now placed his faith and trust for peace of mind in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Isn't that great? Man, the Lord did for him what the devil could not do. And then I want you to look at verse number 18. Jesus gave this man a new desire. A new desire. Go back up to verse 17 just a minute. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. They didn't like Jesus being around. They didn't want Jesus around them anywhere because Jesus messed up their line of credit. Jesus messed up their businesses. Jesus brought them anguish because 2,000 head of swine that they could have sold and made lots of money on now lay drowned in the sea. And they said, man, you get out of our town. We don't want to see you around here. But look at the new desire of this man in verse number 18. The Bible said, and when he was coming to the ship, it's talking about Jesus. Jesus said, okay, you don't want me here. I'll leave. And folks, you listen to me today. If you're sitting here today and you do not know Christ Jesus as your own personal Savior, and you feel the Spirit of God tugging on your heart and saying, you need me. You need to be saved. Don't turn him away. Because there may come a day in your life where Jesus will go away and say, okay, you don't want me bothering you anymore. You don't want me to convict you anymore. Then I'll do exactly what you asked me to do. And that's what Jesus did here. He went away. They began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was coming to the ship, he was getting ready to leave where they were. He that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. He begged him, Lord Jesus, don't leave. Let me go with you. Let me go with you. I want to be with you. But you know what Jesus did? And kids, listen to me. There is a word that you don't like. There is a word in this life that you don't care about. It starts with the letter N. It's just two little letters. And it's no. Oh, don't say that. Oh, no. I remember the first time that Danny was living with us, the first year, and he wanted his mom and dad to buy him something and all this stuff. And it was a lot of money. And they told him no. No. And oh my goodness, bless his heart, he had a temper tantrum. From here to China, he was mad. Oh man, he was mad. And then he hung up from them and he came to us. And he said, do you know what my mom and daddy said? And I said, sounds to me like they said the right thing. They said no. And oh, he was and crying and carrying on. And my wife looked at him and said, shut that up. Just stop it right now. Do what your mom and dad said do. And you know what? His attitude changed. His attitude changed. This man came to Jesus and he said, Jesus, please, let me go with you. I want to be with you. Lord, you've done something great for me. Just let me be with you. And you know what? That's the way we were before, right after we got saved. We wanted to be in the house of God. We wanted to be wherever the Lord was. Man, we ought to have that desire. But Jesus looked at him and said, no, son, I don't want you going with me because I got something better for you. And you know what Jesus did? The Bible said here that Jesus gave this man an obedient heart. And he told him no. And this man could have gotten mad, could have thrown a temper tantrum right there and stomped his feet and carried on and did those things which are not pleasing unto the Lord. But when he got saved, God gave him a submissive heart, a submissive spirit. You know, a couple weeks ago, I did not want to have another heart surgery. I didn't want that. But I didn't want to continue living with my heart racing between 30 and 250 all the time either. And so you know what? I said, Lord, I don't know what you got in store. I don't know what you got here. But Lord, do whatever you want to do. And you know what? If you take me home, then I'm ready to go. But Lord, I'd rather come back. And I'd rather stay right here and just serve you. And you know what? The Lord enabled me to do that. And I thank him for that. Man, I praise him for that today. This man had a submissive spirit and he submitted his will to the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what was so great about that? Because in verse number 20, we see what he did. And he did what Jesus said do. Look at it. Jesus gave this man a new home. Now, he had been living in the tombs, been living in the caves. We were there. We saw those caves in the gatherings when we were in Israel. We saw that. We went up in that area on a big bus, and we got to see a lot of those places, those grave places where they buried people. But you know what? Jesus gave this man a new home. And I want you to look at it. In verse 18, the Bible said, "Howbeit Jesus suffered him not." In other words, Jesus said, "No." But he said unto him, "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord had done for thee and had had compassion on thee." And there in that verse, the Bible reminds us that he had a job for this man to do. You know what? When God saved you, he gave you a job to do. He gave me a job to do. And that job is to tell others what Christ has done for us. We're not to be ashamed of what Christ has done. We're not to be afraid to tell others what Christ has done. And this man, the Bible said here, he gave him the realization, Jesus gave him the realization that he now had not only a new home with his family and with his friends, but he had a new home to look forward to one day in heaven. Folks, you know what? When I get to thinking about the home that the Lord has prepared for me, no more splitting wood. Amen. No more mopping the floors. Let me tell you, our daughter and son-in-law gave us the greatest gift for Christmas that anybody could ever give. They gave us a robot vacuum cleaner. A little round thing. We named it Rosie the robot, okay? We named it Rosie after the Jetsons. And we programmed that thing. And we set a little room, and we set the parameters on that room, and this room, the kitchen, the dining room, the entryway, the hallways down beside all the other rooms. And we can program that thing from our phone and tell Rosie, go clean things for us today. And the dog starts barking. She jumps up on the chair. She's barking and carrying on as Rosie goes through and cleans and mops. That thing mops the floor. My wife has been excited. Amen. She's been so excited. I guess I have to throw away that new bucket and mop I got her last year for Christmas. But man, she loves Miss Rosie. And we give that little thing a job to do, and it does good. And then it just goes right back over in this little corner, plugs itself into the thing, and beep, beep, it's done. And the floor is finished. Man, what a blessing. But you know what? There will be no more cleaning the house when we get to heaven. Amen? No more Rosie. No more having to go out and pull up weeds and deal with the old things of this world. Why? Because we got a new home that's not built with these kind of hands, but it's built by the Lord Jesus himself. And we have that because he has given us that new home. Folks, the truth is, you can't have one home on earth without first of all having a new home in heaven. You might have a house on this earth that you live in, but if you want a home, then you need to have the Savior that gives you the difference between a house and a home. And Jesus did that with this man. And look at this. In verse 19, Jesus gave this man a new testimony. Before, when he was lost and crying out and scaring everybody to death and running around with the devils in him, he had a reputation. But now he had a testimony. Look what Jesus did for me. Jesus said unto him, "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord had done for thee and had had compassion on thee." The Lord Jesus gave him a job. And folks, listen to me today. The job that the Lord Jesus has given unto you and to me should be one that should thrill our hearts and souls. To go and tell that once I was blind, but now I see. Once I was lost, but now I'm found. The Lord Jesus is my Savior. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord had given him a new testimony, a new job. And you know, isn't it strange that before he met Jesus, he didn't care what people thought about him. He didn't care. But now that he's saved, things were different. And he went back and he told his mom and dad. I can imagine this in my mind. He probably ran up his mom and dad and said, "Mom, Dad, I'm so sorry that I did what I did. But things are different now, amen, because I met Jesus.
Amen.
And Jesus changed my life." There's something different about that, the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, today, I want you to think about this. Let me ask you this today. The Bible said when all the people heard this, all men did marvel. Why did they marvel? Because they knew what he used to be, but now they saw what he was through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to ask you this question today, child of God. Those of you that are saved, those that know the Lord Jesus as your own personal Savior, let me ask you this. Is there anybody today that you know that's marveling about the difference that they see in your life now than what your life was like before you got saved? Is there anybody marveling? Are they seeing the difference that the Lord Jesus Christ has made in you through your salvation experience? Are they seeing that difference? Listen, if not, why not? Let me ask you today, why not? Why don't we just live for Jesus? Amen? We're going to be with him, and we're going to be with him forever. And wouldn't it be great to know that we've done all that we could do for him while we're here, so that when we stand before him, we can hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You know what? The difference that Jesus makes is a tremendous difference. Now, maybe you're sitting here today and you don't yet know Christ as your Savior. Maybe you're sitting here today and you don't know him. And you don't know the difference that he can make in your life. I would encourage you today, come to Jesus. Accept him today. See yourself lost and in sin. And realize that only Jesus can make the difference that needs to be made in your life today. He makes an eternal difference that people can see and know that it's real. And he wants to make that difference today. The question is, would you allow him to do that? Hey, Christian, you and I have an opportunity to allow God to do something great in our lives. And those that are lost here today, maybe listening to the sound of my voice, you've got the same opportunity to allow Christ to do something different in your life. The question is, will you allow him to do it? Let's all stand. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. You know what? If the Lord Jesus made a difference in your life, you ought to be thankful for that today. Amen? You ought to be praising him today for the difference he's made. Now, what you need to do and what I need to do is say, "Lord, whatever you have for me, I want to be willing to do it." So, child of God, I ask you today, will you be willing to submit your will to God's will and do what he has asked you to do, what he's commanded you to do? And then maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Listen, the Lord God loves you. The Bible said that he wanted that man to go back and tell his family and friends how great compassion that the Lord had had on him and how he had done great things in his life. The Lord wants to do the same thing in your life today as well. But you've got to be willing to let him do it. Listen, if you would like to be saved today, we'll take the time and show you. Why don't you make your way down and let one of our people here take the Bible and show you how that you can have a right relationship with the Lord Jesus as well. We're going to sing this song. What is the song?
81.
Page 81. And we're going to sing this song. And while the Lord is dealing with your heart, whether you be saved or whether you not be saved, why don't you come and do what the Lord has said do? Listen to the words of the song as you sing and come now and do what God has said do.